call the Special Committee on Energy to order at 11.02 a.m. today. It is Thursday, March 21st. Present are members, Representative Rauscher, Representative Fields, Vice Chair Representative Sponholz, Representative Zolkowski, Representative Lincoln, and myself, Chair Hopkins. Let the record reflect that we do, in fact, have a quorum to conduct business today.
Our meeting time is only 1 hour today, and in order to accommodate the budget subcommittee that was before, and so we're just going to be having the hour to hear House Bill 87 before us today. Makes sense to everybody? Any questions? All right. That one piece of legislation is by Representative Steve Thompson. It's dealing with liquid natural gas storage tax credits. It's my intent to hear from the sponsor a presentation on the legislation and the infrastructure that's immediately going to be impacted by it, take some public testimony, and then hopefully pass the bill from committee today. We'll go ahead and begin today with a presentation on the bill from the sponsor. Would Representative Thompson and his staff come to the table? Please put yourself on the record and introduce the bill and give us a recap. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair Hopkins and the House Energy Committee, for hearing House Bill 87 today. My name is Steve Thompson. I represent House District 2 from Fairbanks, Alaska. House Bill 87 came about through conversations with stakeholders in the interior about our progress on efforts to mitigate high energy costs and improve our air quality. A key theme in this conversation has been the importance of ensuring that we're doing everything that we can to stay on track with the Interior Energy Project. In 2015, the legislature passed House Bill 105 to renew and advance the Interior Energy Project, a project designed to bring low-cost energy to as many residents and businesses of Interior Alaska as quickly as possible. It has resulted in the creation of the Interior Gas Utility, a not-for-profit public utility serving the interior. In 2012, the legislature passed legislation to incentivize the development of liquid natural gas storage, a key component in achieving the economy of scale that will enable widespread use of natural gas in Fairbanks and North Pole. This legislation provided credits for the construction of above-ground LNG storage tanks with capacities of 25,000 gallons or more. There are currently two projects underway, one in Fairbanks and one in North Pole, that will benefit from these credits. House Bill 87 will extend the sunset date of the original legislation by 18 months in order to ensure that the projects underway will be able to capitalize on the existing credits. This is a bill that can help lower energy costs and improve air quality in an area of the state that desperately needs to do both. For years and years, South Central Alaska has benefited with low energy costs due to its proximity to the Cook Inlet and the amount of gas there. Southeast Alaska has benefited from low energy costs through their hydroelectric systems that they have put in from subsidized dams that have been put in to help them. The interior of Alaska has a PM2.5 problem that we're trying to mitigate because we burn wood to heat up there and high-cost diesel fuel. And PM2.5 could have a big effect if we don't do something to reduce that pollution, because the federal government's looking at it, EPA saying, you know, if you don't get this straightened out, we're going to start charging you by withholding federal highway funds. And maybe stopping economic development projects in the future because of the pollution that's going on. And we worry about the military at the same time with that PM2.5. They're looking at it that they don't want to add to it. They don't like what we have, and they want to make sure we succeed. So this is a very important project to make sure that we can get those storage facilities in and take advantage of trying to lower our energy costs so we can have some economic development, because that's one of the big hang-ups of economic development in the Fairbanks area, is our high cost of energy. So that is what the bill amounts to. I have with me today my staff, Seth Witten, who is here to answer any technical questions. And we have the general manager of the Interior Gas Utility, Dan Britton, who is here. And he's going to do a presentation. And there you have it. I hope that you will approve this bill today and get it moving so we can start making progress.
Thank you very much, Representative Thompson. Anybody have any questions for the sponsor? Yeah, Representative Rusher.
Yeah, thank you. Through the chair, Representative Thompson, you said, you made a statement. I have no problem with what you said, or I have no questions about what you said other than one statement. You said the feds are going to withhold highway funds?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Rusher, federal government through the Environmental Protection Agency has that ability to say you're not in compliance, and we have a potential of losing $30 million worth of highway funds in the north, in the interior, because of not non-compliance with the air quality.
Through the chair, is the highway funds in the local area where it's affecting, or is it through the whole state?
Through the chair, Representative Rusher, it would be in the northern region, not the whole state.
Yes, sir.
So, basically, have they threatened that so far?
Yes, they have. Through the chair, Representative Rusher, they have came back with statements to us in that effect, and we have followed up to make sure, and they said, yes, this could happen.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Any other questions? Mr. Whitten, did you have anything to add, or are you good, or?
Through the chair. All right. Yeah, I should put myself on the record. For the record, I'm Seth Whitten, staff to Representative Thompson.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. Thank you for your presentation, Representative Thompson and Mr. Whitten. We can go ahead and receive the presentation from the General Manager of the Interior Gas Utility, Mr. Dan Britton. Mr. Britton, please put yourself on the record, and we'll follow along with your presentation.
Thank you, Chair Hopkins and committee members. My name is Dan Britton. I'm the general manager with the Interior Gas Utility. Thanks for the opportunity to be in front of you today to talk about this important project for the communities of Fairbanks and North Pole. It's one that's been a long time coming, and we're now making some great progress, so extremely excited about this project. This is a reminder of the Interior Energy Project. Its intention is to bring low-cost energy to as many residents and businesses of Interior Alaska as possible, as quickly as possible, help to stabilize our economy and improve the air quality. A little bit of history. Fairbanks first started receiving natural gas through a company, Fairbanks Natural Gas, in the spring of 1998. Currently, approximately 1,100 customers in Fairbanks receive gas service. In November of 2012, the Fairbanks North Star Borough acquired natural gas utility powers through the transfers from the City of Fairbanks and the City of North Pole, and at that time established the publicly owned Interior Alaska Natural Gas Utility. In May of 2018, the IGU consolidated with FNG, and now the two utilities are under common ownership and operated as an integrated not-for-profit utility. Some of the reasons this project is so important to our community is given the high utility costs that we pay. The Fairbanks North Star Borough has some of the highest utility costs in the nation for the 300-plus urban areas regular surveyed. In September, as the representative spoke to, the EPA lowered the national ambient air quality standards for fine particulates matter less than 2.5 ppm, given it's a human health hazard. In 2009, the EPA designated the more populated areas of the Fairbanks North Star Borough as non-attainment related to PM2.5. Those areas are still non-attainment areas today. One area in North Pole has the worst air pollution in the nation, 3.5 times the legal limit and almost 2 times worse than the next worst area in the U.S. So it's extremely important to reduce our PM2.5 for the health benefits of our community. It's known that the one of the best ways to do that is to convert to people's heating sources to natural gas. That's viewed as one of the main opportunities to reduce the PM2.5 in our community. So how we're doing that is through the Interior Energy Project. A key to that is two storage projects that we're here to talk to you about today, and that the storage tax credit extension is designated to assist with. The first being a large storage project in Fairbanks. This is what we call the heart of the interior energy project. This really is the backbone that provides us the opportunity to begin expanding gas service to more customers in the community. It's a 5.25 million gallon capacity tank. In the LNG world, that's it's still a small tank in the export and import world, but a big tank for a community of our size. It's a full containment double wall design, which is the safest LNG design that you can select when deciding on a design for a project. We began construction in January of 2018. It is advancing on schedule with the completion date estimated in the fall of 2019. Our construction cost is approximately $58.4 million for this project. Just a couple of interesting pictures. The outer tank you saw on the first is a concrete tank. The inner tank is 9% nickel steel with the aluminum ceiling that you see up on the top. The inner tank is now substantially complete. The outer tank is substantially complete, and working on all of the pump columns, vents, the stairways, the platforms on top of the tank, and the remainder of the work is our balance of plant, which is the equipment necessary to vaporize liquefied natural gas into natural gas for send out into the distribution systems. This is how the tank looks today, its current status, with the outer tank completed, the stairway up, and then continuing to work on platforms. In the foreground here is one of the existing operating storage facilities that has a capacity of 250,000 gallons. That facility is what's providing service to the 1,100 customers today. In addition to the Fairbanks storage project, we also have a North Pole storage facility. The design of this facility is complete. Its estimated cost is $12.1 million. We issued requests for proposals on February 14th of 2019 for the construction of the facilities with the due date of today. So we'll have our bids in for the construction of the facility. We have a target completion of this facility of November 15th, substantial completion with operational startup and commissioning by December 31st, 2019. The current sunset date of the storage tax credits is January 1st, 2020. So you can see that the schedule is extremely tight, and delays associated with the work would result in the facility not being potentially eligible for the credits, and the reason for the extension request. The North Pole facility will have two 75,000 gallon storage tanks, so a smaller utility, 150,000 gallons total capacity. It does have future expandability, but the initial phase will be the two 75,000 gallon tanks. It will begin providing service to 73 miles of existing pipeline infrastructure that was completed in North Pole in 2015. That piping infrastructure today is under nitrogen pressure, has not yet been gasified given the need for the storage facility. So this will be the first opportunity to bring natural gas service to consumers in North Pole. Just a site plan of the facility. The facility will be located across the street from former Flint Hills refinery and in close proximity to a Golden Valley power generation facility. The facilities include storage, natural gas vaporization, and unloading structures that allow us to take the LNG from either a truck or an ISO container into the stationary tanks. LNG is stored at minus 260 degrees Fahrenheit. In order to make it usable by consumers, we heat it up to anywhere from 50 degrees to 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's the temperature it's injected into the underground piping system. Once it leaves our LNG storage facility, at that point we could be considered a conventional natural gas utility, similar to what NSTAR is providing gas service to customers. It's all of the LNG and infrastructure that make our job a little bit tougher, given that we have to liquefy the gas, transport the gas, store it, and then put it in the pipe network to customers. That's what equates for the added cost of providing the services. Makes it more challenging to keep the cost of natural gas down comparable to alternatives given all of those added activities. So the benefits of the storage, I mentioned a few. It's expanded storage allows us the critical component to move forward with the interior energy project. It increases our security of supply. These customers in Fairbanks will be relying on natural gas to heat their homes and businesses and need to ensure that they have a high level of security of that supply. With our current liquefaction infrastructure, which is in Point McKenzie, which approximately 50,000 gallons a day of production, just adding the large storage tank will allow us to operate that liquefaction component more steady state. Right now it shuts down in the summer because we have nowhere for the LNG to go. We will liquefy all summer, fill the tank, and then draw it down in the winter. Just that those two components allow us to add approximately 3,000 new residential customers beginning in 2020. The state's LNG storage tax credits are vital in helping us to keep the cost of providing that service to interior residents down. The lower our cost, the greater conversion, the more people use natural gas and reduce their reliance on dirtier fuel sources, and the greater impact we have on the air quality in our community. Given we're a public gas utility, any savings are always passed on to the consumer. We're not for profit, and we do not return any earnings back to the borough. It all stays within the utility for reinvestment in the utility for expansion of gas service to more customers. The storage benefit estimated from these two projects is $15 million for Fairbanks and $6 million for North Pole, for a total of $20 million. The range of rate benefit that this provides is that our current demand is approximately $2 per MCF per 1,000 cubic feet of gas. And as we increase our demand, that is spread over more volume, so it goes down. It's about 72 cents. Out into the future years, it equates to approximately 35 cents per MCF as we continue to increase demand. So without the credits, we'll need to access an additional $21 million in debt to finance future capacity expansions and add new customers. So it's a significant rate impact to our potential consumers. Today we have a pretty substantial piping network. We have customers waiting for gas service in both Fairbanks and North Pole. This slide shows the Fairbanks distribution system. The colors are just sizes of pipe. You can see that much of the community now has pipe gas access. What's been holding off the conversions is the availability of additional supply. These storage projects are the start of that additional supply. This map represents about 140 miles of distribution piping.
In case I missed it, blue means what size and red means what size?
Red is 8-inch, blue is 6-inch, green is 4-inch, and then the yellow, which is harder to see on this map, is 2-inch.
Is what?
2-inch.
2-inch. And, so somebody's digging around, putting in electric utility or something, this one. How far back do you have to go from to a safety point where they shut the valve off somewhere where the leak would stop?
Through the chair, Representative, we have a couple of options to deal with third-party damages when we respond to an emergency. One is to shut off valving. Our system's a high-density polyethylene. We don't have any steel in the system right now. So our other option is we can squeeze the pipe to shut off flow. So when we have a damaged pipe, we can squeeze it quite close to the damage. We will, each emergency is evaluated slightly differently depending on where the gas is escaping, what are the businesses, what are the structures near it. If we have an opportunity, we'll dig a hole outside of the damaged area and squeeze the pipe remotely to stop the flow. In areas where it's a high level of potential consequence, we actually, our employees will don fire protective equipment and breathing apparatus and squeeze the piping rate at the damage.
Philip? So what's the response time on something like that?
Through the chair, Representative, the response time are generally we see from the time we receive a call to our employees being on scene is less than 30 minutes. And in many instances, we can have the gas flow shut off within the next 15 minutes. Extended time frames, the longest potential that we've seen where we have a more challenging situation and have to do remote excavation or shut valves would be an hour from the time we get there to having the gas stopped.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Does the downtown core of Fairbanks also have this infrastructure? Maybe that's just a little hard to read on the map.
Through the chair, Representative Fields, we have just started to complete the downtown core installation. In the last couple of years, Cushman Street, if you're familiar with, and Noble Street have undergone upgrades. And so during that time frame, we participated with the in the pavement projects and put our gas mains through to help save some costs for our consumers and reduce impact on the roadways. The other areas are currently provided with steam and hot water service, and so they have an alternative to wood heat and oil. And so those areas that have that steam and hot water have yet to be fully completed with gas service, but we will over the next years continue to expand. Similarly, in North Pole, we've completed the construction of what we call phase one of our expansion, and it was broken out into three different distinct zones for contracting purposes, but essentially it's about 72 miles of distribution gas piping that has been completed in one of the significant non-attainment areas. So as soon as we have the North Pole storage facility completed, we'll be able to begin adding consumers to this this area. Future expansion is to complete additional phases of this North Pole work, would be phases 2, 3, and then we have all the way through 6. Phase 2 would be directly to the north of the work that's already completed here.
Yeah, through the chair. Just to go back to the map before, if you would.
Yep, wrong way.
Where's the distribution plant on this map?
Through the chair, Representative, you mean the LNG storage facility on the map?
Facility.
There's two LNG storage facilities in operation right now. They're depicted by the two red squares on the south portion of the map. If you could see all the way down near the bottom.
Those two right there?
Yeah, okay. And the red square that's to the west and the south portion of the map, that's where the new large storage tank has been being constructed on property that's adjacent to the operating facility.
All right, well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
That concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Pruitt.
Yeah, thanks. So back on the North Pole, you said 6 phases. Did the two 75,000-gallon tanks, are they? Is that enough to handle the full 6 phases?
Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, the initial design of the 275,000 gallons has enough capacity for phases 1 through 3. When we add phases 4 through 6, we'll have to add some additional tankage. The vaporization capacity and the design of our systems are set up to allow for the addition of a vaporizer and additional boilers in the future to meet the needs. So the overall design is set up for the full 6 phases. There'll be some scaling or additions in the future when those are done.
Yeah, follow up.
Yeah.
Should we expect a visit from someone like yourself when it's time to do 4, 5, and 6 for something similar to this, or maybe even an extension of time from the 2021 date to be able to provide for those additional phases?
Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, the the additional phases are not anticipated for a number of years, could be 5-10 years from now. At that point, the utility will be established utility with substantially more customers, and expectation is that our future needs will be financial needs above what's been provided with the interior project will be provided through utility revenues versus coming back to the state for future assistance. We are always going to be open to the opportunity for any contributions that could reduce costs to our consumers, but the intent of the project and the utility is to have that work be borne by ratepayers in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Britton.
Thank you.
Appreciate it coming back down and helping explain the project. I'm going to go ahead and take some public testimony. Is there anybody in the room who would like to give public testimony on this? Seeing nobody, I'm going to go ahead and go online. And I'm going to start with OffNet. And there's Mike Meeks, who's the Chief of Staff for the City of Fairbanks, on there. Mike, can you hear us?
Thank you very much, Chairman Hopkins. Can you hear me well?
Indeed we can. Thank you. And go ahead. You've got 2 minutes for your public testimony.
Good morning. I'm Mike Winkie, Chief of Staff to the Mayor of Fairbanks. I'm also an original board member for the Interior Gas Utility. I was chairman of that board for 3 years, vice chair for 2. The Interior needs to have tax and credit extension for LNG storage facilities. The last financial model I saw incorporated the tax credits into IGU's calculations for estimated cost of the meter for the customer. Without this extension, the price to the meter will increase. The number of customers who choose to convert from fuel oil to gas will most likely increase. The loss of the credits will mean that IGU will have to make that money up somehow, and most likely it will come through bonding, incurring more debt. If I remember correctly, the loss of the tax credits will incur a little over $21 million additional debt, and would add another $1.93 per MCF to the meter with the current, using the current demand models. We must make the cost of the meter low enough to attract customers. This project is already challenged with customer density issues and costs. These increased costs will do nothing to help our air quality issues and our energy cost concerns. Please look favorably on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Meeks. Much appreciated. Let's see. So next we have Fairbanks Borough Mayor Bryce Ward. Mayor Ward, can you hear us?
Yes, Chair Hopkins, this is Mayor Ward.
Alright, thank you very much, Mayor. Make sure you're, I was told to not have you guys use your speakerphone, so if you make sure you're talking into your phone, that'd be great. And we can hear you, so go ahead with your testimony.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and City. I'm here to give testimony today on HB 87 and for the natural gas storage credit extension. As Mr. Brick had mentioned in his testimony, there are customers that are anticipating and waiting on being able to connect to the system. I myself am one of those customers that is ready to connect to that system in the North Pole area when the tanks are installed and they're able to energize that system. And as I mentioned, it's customers waiting for service both in the North Pole area for phase one and then also in the expanded area in the Fairbanks area that are waiting for that service. The added benefit to having customers to the utility not only helps reduce the cost overall to the project by increasing your economies of scale, but also helps us address the air quality attainment issue that we have by converting to cleaner sources of energy for heating, space heating, particularly. So with that, that concludes my comments. We have answering questions.
Thank you very much, Mayor, for raising your voice on this important issue. Any questions for Mayor Ward? Doesn't look like it in this room. Thank you very much, Mayor. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I'm going to go jump to the Legislative Information Office up in Fairbanks for Jomo Stewart. Jomo, are you there in the LIO?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. You can go ahead and give your testimony. You've got 2 minutes.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'll be changing potentially shorter. The other speaker, the previous speaker, did a really good job to the issue, so simply wanted to lend our additional verbal support to the letter that the Seagon Development Corporation has sent in support of HV 87. The other speaker that noted it is very important. It's, I think, personally, critical to the success of the project and the utility. In the sense that it helps drive down costs, and all of this was initially about driving down costs. It was the intent of the state to help assist in that endeavor, in the same way that the state assisted with the Cook Inlet region, the Cook Recovery Act in 2010. This was just mirrored that, but for LNG in 2012. The unfortunate reality of life is that despite best efforts and intentions, and I do mean best efforts, and I think it's a little bit longer than we might hope or plan, but not enough time, I can attest from my personal experience, has the project been in a point stasis, things just a little bit longer, but now that we're finally in a position to really capitalize on these credits and assistance, which something would be available that previously and originally intended. Also, Kelly Park now when he first initiated the Interior Energy Project noted that the total amount of funding on offer through grant loans, mostly loans and bonds, wasn't really enough to actually get it all the way there, but we make a good start. And so just allowing us again to capitalize on that good start fund to get down the road to a viable operating, fully operating utility would be both beneficial and in fact necessary. So thank you very much for contemplating the extension. We hope you might follow through with your support as well.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stewart, for your testimony. Any questions for him? All right. We're going to go back offline. It looks like we have Vicky Jo Kennedy with the Grandma Brigade in Juneau on Offnet. Are you available there, Mrs. Kennedy?
I am present. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can. Go ahead with your testimony. You've got 2 minutes.
Okay, Vicky Jo Kennedy, Kennedy and Collins, and I am honored to address my plans to upgrade the Fair Banks, the city with the golden pot on the Chino River. I am very proud of this gas line because it's what we do. But I have a concern over the funding. And since we're going to North Pole, it's just a hop, skip, and jump down the road to Fort Greedy, and yes, that's Fort Greedy, not really. And I believe the lift is going to be happening to this, but we can let the village pay for some of this. And we, the state cannot afford to keep doing this, but my heart is with you people up there because I've been there when the inversions are there. I couldn't breathe. Now I'm on my safety driver, I really couldn't breathe there. But you've got to look at the big picture. Where is this line going to end? I already know where it's going. So get the feds to help pay for all of this, not just when they tap in, because their little tap is not going to cost them that much. They need the fuel for the trees and also for the jet fuel. You know, they're there, they're going to stay there. So we'll put some more of that money and hold their feet to the fire because I know they want that gas too. So, yes, I want my little people in Alaska to be warm and have clean air and do that. But if they tap in, you make sure they're going to pay a pretty penny for it. Just keep looking for more money because if they were broke, you know, too much in it, the money in the fund. So, hey, you're doing a good job, Alex. I'm just glad you're in order. We lost 31 days, and now you're rolling. So, thank you for doing this for us.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kennedy. I believe that there is one member, Representative Rusher, has a question for you.
Yes, through the chair, Mrs. Kennedy, I just want to qualify your answer here. You're supportive of the bill, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. I heard you support the gas project and everything else, but I didn't hear anything about the bill was the reason I asked, so I appreciate you answering the question. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kennedy, for your testimony. Thank you. All right. Doesn't look like there's anybody else. Brief at ease, please. Ms. Lee, you've got some testimony calling in from Offnet?
I am, and the line just became unmuted.
All right, thank you very much. You've got 2 minutes, Ms. Lee, and please proceed with your testimony.
All right. My name is Patrice Lee. I'm calling from Fairbanks. I'm the coordinator of Citizens for Clean Air and also the director on the Interior Gas Utility Board, and I would like to add my request for your support for the tax credits for our Interior Pulaski Gas Utility Storage Project. The problem that we've been dealing with for 10 years has taken a terrible toll in terms of bad air quality. We need to relief. It's a health and safety issue as well as it is an economic issue, and I would urge your full support. I think it's well documented that the EPA is at its last stages of what it will do enforcement-wise to deal with the situation that's been going on for over 10 years. And if I think it's fairly universally understood that the answer to our problem is affordable energy so that we can provide the economic boom we need, but more importantly, clean up the air so we're healthier enough to be economic. So with that, thank you for having me testify, and thank you for your sincere consideration and additional good questions that you may have regarding this project. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lee. Are there any questions? All right, thank you. Doesn't look like there's any here. So I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Thank you very much, everybody. At this point, I'd entertain a motion to move the bill from committee.
Chair Hopkins, I move House Bill 87 from committee with individual recommendations and attach zero fiscal note.
Is there any objection? All right, seeing no objection, we're going to go ahead and take a brief at ease while members sign the committee report. Just before that, our next meeting is going to be this coming Tuesday, March 26th at 10:15 a.m. when we're back on our own schedule without the subcommittees, and it will be a presentation from Larry Pursley about the global state of liquefied natural gas export projects. We're going to go ahead and go at ease now. Back on the record, and we're going to head adjourn the special committee on education at 11, sorry, thank you. Special Committee on Energy at 11:42 a.m.